Our gospel reading today comes to us in the Gospel of Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist heralds the mighty one who is coming. John teaches the preparation for God's reign is not a matter of identity, but of bearing fruits of merciful justice, radical generosity, and vocational integrity. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed to you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As for the people, they were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. John answered all of them by saying, 'I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I that is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn in with an unquenchable fire.' So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, I love talking about Advent, and it seems like almost everything these days is related to the Advent season and giving thanks and having joy and having hope and having peace. For me, it sets a whole spirit of Christmas. Each week, we have lit a different candle on the four on the outside that leads us up to Christmas Eve, and then on Christmas Eve, we'll even light the big white one in the middle. But first, we have to deal with the gospel text for today, just after we lit this candle of joy. This is another John the Baptist story, and it doesn't seem to fit with our theme of Advent. And it was Thursday night that I was preoccupied with writing this sermon, and I reflected on these words from John the Baptist. They just seem a little out of place for joy. Well, they seem to be so harsh and judgmental, especially when he says, "You brood of vipers, where is the joy in all of that?" I had a hard time finding it. John speaks words of repentance when during this time of the year we truly want to hear, what we want to hear is Tiny Tim's little message that God bless us everyone. You know, that's what we want to be hearing and we see on TV too. That's the Christmas spirit, right? Well, I think so. But maybe not yet. It's still Advent. Instead, we hear these texts from John the Baptist saying, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree therefore that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." But now as I thought about it a little bit more, I thought about the positive effects that John's words really did have on the people of that day. On the day that he was saying he was preparing them with the good news and that condemnation of his. And this passage even ends with, he proclaimed the good news to people. It seemed to contradict exactly what it's saying. But as I looked deeper into the text and thought more about the Bible as a whole, we know that Luke here remembers John the Baptist as far more than just a prophet. He is a messenger that the prophet Malachi would say would be a forerunner of the Messiah. In other words, Luke declares that John was a part of God's plan for all the people, not only the Jews and the Gentiles, and therefore he was sharing good news with those who may not have heard about the Messiah coming before. He was saying that all people are to be blessed with joyful, peaceful, hopeful lives that will come before their Lord God through the coming of Jesus Christ. That's the good news he was sharing. Today, we did light the third candle, that pink one of Advent. And I especially love the pink candle this week, the pink one, because I love the color of pink, because it's by its very name, it speaks joy. And so I shared with you an Advent tree that I've been having over the years, this the pink color, because it offers a bit of positive feelings. I think pink is just a joyful color. Joy is something that we all desire in more than our lives. We all want joy, right? Well, I found a survey that said that had over 700 participants, where the respondents could identify what they most desperately wanted more in life. And the question was, if you could say one word that you would want more in life, what would that be? Well, the number one response was actually happiness. Joy came in fifth. Money, which one would assume would grab at number one, but that was number two. Happiness was one. Money was number two. The other answers were freedom, peace, balance, fulfillment, and confidence. The participants of this particular study identified the distinction between happiness and joy, which is really interesting. Usually those who discuss that distinction say that happiness is a form of contingent joy. Happiness, according to this line of thought, is a momentary feeling of elation stimulated by some external yet positive event that occurred in one's life. That's happiness. Let me say that again. It's a feeling of elation stimulated by some external yet positive event that has occurred in one's life. Now, joy, on the other hand, is a stream. Someone said this. It's a stream that flows deep and steadily and is not affected too much by whatever turbulence may be rolling around the surface of one's life. Huh. So those surveyed would rather have happiness than joy. Huh. Actually, they'd rather have freedom, more freedom than joy, peace than joy, and most importantly, they'd rather experience outbursts of giddy insanity above anything else, I think, rather than joy. Sadly, happiness is tied too much to the desires and pleasures of the flesh. So the argument still continues. Should we yearn for the kind of contentment that is true happiness? And what is the name of true happiness? I would argue that what is true happiness is actually joy. Achieve joy, and then you'll not only have joy, but you'll have mindfulness, inner peace, enlightenment, sanctification, and a bunch of other doctrinal ministries and big words that we can't explain. You know, in reality, joy and happiness are feelings that come from doing what God pleases. Let me say that again. Joy and happiness are feelings that come from doing what God pleases. So in other words, joy is an attitude. When I look at pink is an attitude. It has lots of joy in it. The pink represents is not just a color, it is that attitude. Yes. Now, when we think of a pink tree of joy, it used to be one that you could only buy in the stores. This is before the time of LED light bulbs and technology. The only colors of trees that you could buy were green, white, and pink. Did you ever wonder why you could buy a pink tree, other than the fact that it was an attitude? Well, it's because it was an Advent tree, symbolizing joy of the season. Nowadays, because of the secular world and the materialization of the season about everything, we can buy almost any color of tree that you want. And here are some colors of examples that I found on the internet that you could buy for the season. How appropriate, right? Yes. And then, now, I don't think so. I wouldn't want to get one of those. But maybe there's a lot of anxiety. You can even get a patriotic tree. There you go, right? How appropriate. I don't think so. Not that I'm unpatriotic. It doesn't seem to fit very well in the season of Christmas. And maybe this is why we have a lot of anxiety with this season. That we have been somewhat divided as a nation, that we have been split for the reason of this season. I don't get it. But this pink just brings out the joy of Advent and Christmas and what Jesus brought into the world, saying that the Lord is near. With John the Baptist leading us, we read about what John thinks we should be doing about now to be worthy of repentance for our sins. That's a little bit different message than what we have heard through salvation by grace through faith that we've been taught about on Sundays for the past umpteen years of our lives. But this message is a good one for this time of the year as we wait for the season of Advent. The message is that the Lord is near. So have some joy. Although the culture tells us that it's already Christmas, the church reminds us that through this pink tree or pink candle and the pink, that there is an appointed time for everything. A time now is for rejoicing because the Lord is coming soon. But why are the readings for John the Baptist so gloomy these past few weeks? The Lord is near, so repent! Does John really portray this as good news? Is God's judgment good news and something we should be joyful about? Well, if we think about it, I think it really depends on what or on who you think you are and what you think God, how God sees you. Who you think you are and how God sees you. Let's not forget that our sorrows we can just turn that frown upside down when we think about our faith. Faith gives us hope, peace, joy, and love. The Christian faith says that we hope, and there's that Advent word again, that even though our world seems upside down in the full of conflict and division, we can still, what the Bible would say, rejoice. Yes, we can express sorrow and still rejoice. This attitude of joy, it can be seen throughout the whole Bible when we look at it. And joy is not just because of happy circumstances, but because of God's hope and promise to us. That's why this text is in the Bible during Advent. Now, the Bible has several different words that are used to express what we know in the word English, joy, but it all comes from that same root word of joy. And a lot of times, the word is rejoice. From the very first chapter of Genesis in Hebrew, God rejoices in the creation and says that it is good. And the Israelites, they lived their joy through their friendships and faith, even though the Israelites were delivered from their bondage in Egypt. They even rejoiced, even though they were exiled to the desert for the next 40 years. They still rejoiced in the Lord. Isaiah writes, that we read this morning here, about them shouting for joy in the midst of their problems, and their joy was not defined by their struggles, but by their future destiny of the Holy Land, the hope that they knew was coming. And then there was the weeping in Babylon through the Old Testament, rejoicing in Jerusalem. And would they say that they were happy or joyful? I would say that they were joyful. Truth is, they didn't care about synaptics. The text here says joy. The Bible says that they rejoiced. Yes, it was a contingent joy, and so today we would say they were happy, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Happiness is good. But these people, they weren't only happy. They were filled with joy. And as the Israelites became more encamped in the Roman Empire, they continued to pray and live for the hope that they would see in the future Messiah, that they would once be delivered again. They chose joy and anticipation for their future redemption. And then there's the time of Jesus. Jesus was the author of good news and great joy. And upon his birth, the people rejoiced in the Lord, even though the baby was born in the troubled times and in very dangerous circumstances where Herod was going to kill all the babies. They still rejoiced in the birth of this child. Next, here we have John the Baptist trying to figure out if he too should have joy in this holy man named Jesus. Who really was he? Well, John taught about the joy of the future while he was in the wilderness, and that they would hear this news, and they too would rejoice upon hearing about the baptism of repentance. And here in this gospel story, John wants us to know who Jesus is. Is he the Jesus that is going to really come and save them, or are they waiting for another? They respond by explaining who he is and what Jesus will do. But he will do it differently than what John is prepared to hear. Jesus does not bear the axe at the tree and burn in unquenchable fires. Jesus doesn't come as that mighty warrior or that savior, but in a humble servant and assures the promises of hope, not only for today, but for the future, for that future that we have. And let's not forget about Paul, Paul's writings. He too rejoiced in the Lord as he was imprisoned. That's New Testament stuff. They still rejoiced in the Lord even though things were not good. Paul chose joy over despair, knowing about his impending death even. He had joy in faith and joy in the Lord. So our question might be, where do we see these Christ-like joyful things being done in today's world in Tucson, Arizona? Where do we see the physical and spiritual healing of others that we could be joyful about? And you know, we often neglect the concept that spiritual healing can indeed create physical healing and create joy in people's hearts and minds and souls. That's where the joy comes back to us. That's where we see the attitude of the season through the color of pink. Yes, repentance is a part of Advent. John's words are a part of Advent. Hope is a part of Advent, and so is joy. Joy really is the fruit of loving the neighbor as we love ourselves and God. Again, joy is the result of healing and hope. We are a community that is gathered in hope, and we rejoice in the gifts of our Lord. Even in worship, Jesus prepares us through the Lord's Supper and is present with us in the midst as we hear the word and that joyous presence of Christ in our world. And the last part of our gathering, last part of worship, we are sent into the world joyful, rejoicing. We are sent into the world to be a spiritual presence for Jesus, for others, sharing God's joy at the same time as we offer hope and peace. So as we leave here today, remember the color pink, joy, and rejoice in the Lord always. Again, the Lord says rejoice, for the Lord is near. Rejoice. Amen.